Hello and welcome to episode 32 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from City on the Budget. And I am joined once again by the supremely jovial Russ from Scotland Surveyor. How are you, Russ?
I'm supremely jovial, according to you, which is
supremely great. That's the thing. It's a fair description for a man frustrated by his evening meal taking an hour and 40 minutes to arrive. So absolutely jovial, as you could imagine.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. But I'm sitting with my Surveyor open. I'm sitting on a Zoom call with you. Life doesn't get much better, does it?
Could be worse. Could be worse.
Could be worse.
Let's
talk football.
Let's talk football indeed. I've been in the thick of it so far today. I've got two midweek teams with decent prospect. I was actually sitting, Russ, my all-star team with only four players was sitting on 249.7 points heading into the last couple of minutes. So I was needing 0.3 to get me over the higher ETH with just four players. And instead, my defender, who was on 92 points, gave away a penalty. And unfortunately, that dropped him down to 51 points. But I've managed to stay in by 1.97 into the lower ETH. So it could be worse. However, it's still going to be the lower ETH. Still going to be, you know, what, 23 quid, I think it is, for the lower ETH. And I've got one player still to play in my second division team, and I'm sitting right on the edge of the cards in that one as well. So we'll see. It could be a halfway decent one. But how's your game weeks been in the last few days?
Well, I've got an entire team playing tomorrow night, so Thursday, or yep, tonight if you're listening on Thursday. I've also got I've got two teams in this week, this mid-game week. One of the teams that in global hasn't done particularly well. It was made up of Jack Amakis, Carlos Soler, Davy Klassen, and it's got Michael Smith at Hearts to play. I knew before I'd put it in truth, that the objective was to hit Lloris with it. I knew it wasn't card worthy because there was no goalkeeper playing.
Yeah.
So anything that I can get from a sort of just a cash return on that is absolutely fine. I've already sold Michael Smith to a friend. He was bought for a one-off game. I couldn't really see how we would utilise him ahead to some of my other defenders in future. And that's just one of the things that, you know, sometimes we do. I don't like to, you know, buy on the hop all the time, but sometimes you just have to. And I looked at the team and thought, well, I can either put in just one team or I can put in two teams and hopefully scrape a cash prize. So, yeah, it's not looking too great at the moment. I need probably something decent tomorrow. But the team that I do have that I'm very hopeful of, I put them in, rather than putting them in rare, I put them in Challenger Europe.
Yep.
I just quite liked the fact that there was less than 700 entries in the competition, which I found myself recently looking more and more at how many people I'm actually up against and against the ratio of prizes. So if I'm looking and there's, you know, 200 prizes and there's like 700 people, I'll look at that against the alternative competitions. And if the numbers or the odds, as we would say, are in my favour, I'll try and be quite tactical on that. So I've got Sergio Pat of Ludogorets in the goal on Thursday night, and I've got Obispo Chatzidakis at AZ and PSV. I've got Andy Halliday at Hearts and Danilo playing tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm first and foremost to hope that they all play. If they all play, I think I could probably be, you know, hopefully in contention for a card of some sort. I'm not going to set my sights too high and, you know, hope for podiums or anything ridiculous, but if I can get some sort of monetary gain via a card, happy days. But yeah, it's been another sort of strange week. All this research that we've been doing on the Scottish League guys and stuff's prompted a few more gallery changes, and I know that you've been busy on the trade front as well.
Yeah, I was having a look to see if I could pick up a few. I've actually only picked up one. I thought I'd actually been busier than this, but I think it's more outgoings than incomings. And I think there's also been a couple of players who have actually been in and back out again as well. So it's I've actually been looking back, and I know it was something you just touched on there, but we've also been talking about it the last few weeks when we'll be doing the Scottish League review. it's kind of highlighted some players that stuck out. And obviously, whilst I was on the whilst we were recording the podcast last week, I picked up Sander Johansson of Motherwell, who went and stuck in a 90.3 on Saturday, and I didn't have him in my lineup. So that was a bit disappointing. That would have got me something in any of the teams I put him in. And also, I actually had another player who scored 71 that was sitting in a training team as well. But it just highlighted a few players. And one that I complained that I didn't manage to get last week as well, that was Danny Armstrong. And I picked him up today Danny Armstrong. And I picked him up for £71, I think it was.
Okay.
So I'm pleased for that. He's got a last five now of 60. Granted, he's got 100 that'll drop off. So unless he gets 100 this weekend, he's not going to hold the last five of 60, but it's still a solid card to pick up for, you know, what in essence is that, you know, a very budget friendly price, to be fair. So I've got a few other targets there, Russ, and obviously we'll come to the last three teams in a little moment, but yeah, it's definitely highlighted a few players that I'm quite keen on. And obviously, it definitely highlighted a few players that you were keen on, because I've noticed a fair bit of incomings at your gallery over the last few days.
Yeah, I had a period where I think I went about probably 4 or 5 days without a purchase, which probably for anyone looking in on the gallery will thought I've probably been locked in a cage or something like that, considering I'm quite kind of constant in trying to evolve for the better my teams. I helped a friend out who was a rare player short, and in that package were a couple of limited cards, which I know I have said on this podcast that I wouldn't touch again. But do you know what? I was doing somebody, a close friend, a favour. We did a true value swap. So I think in came Liam Kelly of Motherwell, who we've spoken about extensively on the pod as probably the safest goalkeeper in the league to hold. So Liam Kelly came in along with Chris Cadden and I think it was Joe Newell.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave a rare defender. I think it was maybe one of the United ones or something. I gave him an exchange to help him out. So it's a permanent trade. I'll be keeping those cards. And I've supplemented that with, I thought, well, there's no point in me just having three cards, because as you know, I've sold them all off. So I thought, right, using my own data and what I've been working on for weeks, and, you know, why create all that data and then not buy any of the players that are performing the best on it? So I signed Ramadani and Bojan Miovski, both from Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been quite a lot of press for anybody that doesn't watch the, you know, listen to the radio or read up on the Scottish articles, etc. But Jim Goodwin's come out and he's been praising their game mentality, how they, you know, and how they don't really fear the Old Firm. Now, I know that Aberdeen got tanked by Rangers there at the weekend, but you know, he was on about their performance and their mentality and how they just see it as another team, etc. Obviously, they're both not from Scotland. They're both, obviously, foreign players. But they've both been playing really, really well. So I picked those two up just to complete my limited team. I think I do have, in the sort of deeper depth somewhere of my gallery, I do have, I think, one more yellow card somewhere floating about. That
a reminder.
I use as a reminder, yeah. But yeah, so I've got that team. And what I did was I thought, right, I had a look and I've been hit with a few guys that haven't performed quite to the standard that they were performing when I bought. Mostly European cards. And I had a couple of cards that I wanted to put to Pavel as well that were America's cards that were just spare. And I've picked up Chris Cadden in rare form, who has been absolutely phenomenal at Hibs. Joe Newell at Hibs and Sean Goss from Motherwell. And I thought, right, I'll pick them up first. And I further supplemented them with Bojan Miovski and Alexander Ayakaviti at Ross County. So a few guys in there, and one final one that I've picked up. This guy was 0.17, so £240, which I know that's probably a lot of money to a lot of the listeners and things, but Sven Mijnans at Sparta Rotterdam is on everything. I've actually watched him in three games. I've watched him kind of live when I've been reliant on his performance to get me over the line for either a cash or a card, and he has helped me win a couple of prizes recently. but he's playing absolutely phenomenal, and he's an under 23 card, and he's actually 23 card to 2024. So it's not this summer he expires, it's the following summer. So if you do have round about 0.17 spare, I genuinely urge you to have a look at it. I've got a feeling that he might do what we've seen with the likes of Danny DeWitt at AZ Alkmaar, and probably rise quite substantially in price as a rare card if he continues to form.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that card going for like £500, £600, £700. So I think there's room for growth if you're one of these guys that likes to flip and stuff. So yeah, it's been a busy sort of last, I would say, 40 hours just with what I class as domestic improvements.
Domestic improvements indeed. And he does not mean buying a new Hoover. But yeah, I was actually looking at Ramadani last night on the rare auctions. And I kind of set myself an upper level of what I was willing to spend. And he literally went one bid over. So I kind of walked away because it was still less than what they're listed for on the market, but it was kind of in line with, you know, what they've actually been selling for. So I just kind of called it a day on that one. But yeah, it's getting back to what we spoke about a while ago about, you know, using the knowledge, you know, from the league that we actually follow. And it's funny because three of the players I have actually looked at, I wasn't necessarily going to put the names on the podcast just because I'm obviously trying to pick them up. But Sean Goss, Joe Newell, Chris Cadden, because I've had Newell and Cadden, and Newell was sold to help purchase the goalkeeper that I picked up that time. However, I've seen he's still floating about 0.1, which still seems really good value. He has dropped down to last five of 49, I see. But do you know what? The market's so reactive. And I think we've spoke about it before, and I've kind of spoke about it on Twitter, that if a player has one bad game, it's like the end of the world to some boys. And they're listing them up for three quarters of what they were actually worth instead of, you know, I don't understand why people love to devalue their assets just because of one, you know, lesser game as such. Hey, it doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, I think all those pickups that you've had will definitely see in good stead. It's hard to look past some of the Hibs boys, and again, some of the Motherwell ones there as well. They've just got such good value to them. I'm just hoping that Johansson's back for the weekend, because I'll be able to put him straight into a lineup if he is. And if he's not, I have got other options, but I would rather, you know, actually be using the Scottish League cards, to be perfectly honest. So,
totally. I had a wee look, and I've not published any of this other data yet because I've not actually quite finished it, but I suppose one of the key things for me, you know, I've been sitting with cards that have been performing, say from, so just for example, two of the guys at Kaz Upin, so Boris Lambert, the defender, and Steph Peters, they've been, you know, they've been great for me. They've been delivering week after week. But there's also some cards that I've had that have been about 0.28, 0.3. And what I've done is I've put them up in all season total points. I've not published them because they're very specific to my team, but I looked at like 10 cards and I put these new cards in against them. And I think there's only two of the cards out of 10 are better than, you know, so Newell and Goss are both midfielders. And I know, obviously, I know we spoke about it just before the end of the pod, but after we've covered the three teams that remain, my plan was to do a wee bit of a pod exclusive, and I'm not going to publish this on social media for another week or so that the guys that actually genuinely listen to the pod can actually look to try and pick up these players. And yeah, it would probably make sense for anybody that does listen to the pod not to publish these on your Twitter as such, because, mm-hmm, you know, you want to probably pick them up yourself. But these are I've got the top 20 players in Scottish football, and the breaking news is that it's not like littered with Celtic players. It's very, very surprising, the top 20. And that's total points accumulated, which I think it's important. You know what? For me, I don't know how you feel about this, Chris, but like, for me, it's all good and well players getting 90 points and then, you know, 76. But if it's followed by two DNPs when they're in that lineup and costing you a card the following week, it's even worse when you've had them not in your lineup when they've scored the 90. So like you said there just now, you've had a couple of boys in your training week, you put them back in, and they're a DNP. And you're like, I put you back in because you're playing so well, and now the manager's left you out for whatever reason. So what I've done with the players that I've brought in, they're all playing and they're playing every week. And that's one of my new prerequisites, that I've probably been too lenient because of my love for certain players. But if someone isn't or hasn't played 14 out of the last 15 games, I'm just not signing them now. And I'm making that a rule, because the disappointment of missing out on a card when you've had four guys that have played really, really well. And I think I had, on Saturday past there, I had three players score more than 80 points, including one guy that scored 110 points, all in one team, and I didn't get a card.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It's absolutely true. And it's even what I've been looking at with my Spanish teams. I had players from likes of, I've still got players from Alaves, I've still got, but I did have a couple of players from like Las Palmas and things like that. But the size of some of these squads is massive. So when it comes to these midweek ones, you can't rely on them starting. Do you know what I mean? Like it's what I've always had success with. If you go right back to one of my first teams, Russ, was that Ueta Trinita in Japan.
Yep.
Very small team, but they meant the players that I was picking were their key players, and they played every single game. Unless there was an injury, suspension, that sort of thing. They played every single game. They weren't rotated in and out. And that's why if you look at the likes of one of the teams we'll come to tonight, St Mirren, their players, they're pretty much set. You know, I don't think it'll take you much to go and put together like a St Mirren preview, because they're a very small team in terms of number of players. The manager's even said, you know, in terms of injuries and things like that, you know, the weekend, he actually had every available player in the lineup, you know, and you know, obviously the bench as well. So it's not a huge squad. So your chances of rotation are a lot less. Do you know what I mean?
100%, yeah.
It just helps you. And, you know, and that's probably why you look at some of the Celtic boys, you know, not just your Jack and Marcus, but take, you know, James Forrest had a cracking couple of games, but that doesn't mean he's going to be missing for another 6 weeks. Do you know what I mean? Like if he disappears, doesn't get a game, you know, the next couple of weekends and you don't see him until after Christmas, it's like, well, you're sitting there with, you know, a fairly expensive card and you're, you know, what can you do with it? So, yeah, I can totally see where you're coming from. And it makes sense. It really does, just to try and guarantee it. Because if you get a DMP, even if it's your all-star team, if you're playing with the full five and you get a DMP, probably, unless there's something, you know, a couple of decisives kicking about, you're probably only realistically looking at maybe getting the lower ETH. And then if you've got a, if you're heading for a card and then your DNPs appear, it's the same situation. So you kind of need, like I had a boy tonight, Russ, that was sitting on the bench. It's the rotation in Spain midweek, it is what it is. If he didn't come off the bench and get the 26 points, I'm outside the cards. But as it stands, I'm inside the cards because he got his 26 points. And that could be all the difference between getting a card and not. You know, we're not just talking about 2 or 3 points. It's, you know, even that 25 or just 35 for just, you know, getting a game. It makes a massive difference. So, yeah, some of these teams, especially these ones we're going to look at, and the Scottish teams, fair to say, Russ, are all operating on a tight budget after the last few years. So they are going to be operating on not quite skeleton squads, but you will see the key players in each of those teams, and they're the ones that are going to be playing every week. So,
yeah. I think most of the squads have got a sort of core 17, 18 guys that you would call sort of like mostly over 21 first team players. And then the squad will be beefed out to like a total of like 24, 25 max, but it'll be seven guys all through, mostly through either their youth or their academies.
Yeah.
These are the guys that do get the 26 point scores more often than not. If they get on, there are, you know, dozens and dozens of them in Scottish football. They're all good, decent, young Scottish sort of professional pros that are making a breakthrough, but they can't be relied on for SO5 at the moment, which is a shame. But yeah, do you know what? It's absolutely imperative. And as I say, the prime example, you know, I'm just looking at that actual the team that aforementioned, and I got 101 points from Carlos Soler, 93 from a chap called Tijani Noslin that plays at Fortuna Sittard, who's a young striker. So that was 194 after two. I got 82 points from Halliday, and I'm sitting there going, you know, 276 points that is from three players. I'm thinking, you know, fourth man and fifth man have just got to kind of turn up, and I got a DNP and a 28 and no reward. Yeah. So it's a fine line for everybody that's playing. You know, we all know there's an element of reliance on a bit of good fortune. You know, simple things like, you know, guys getting a yellow card after putting in a good performance for 90 minutes, and then the last minute of injury time, players are tired, somebody's clean through on goal, yellow card, halved, points off. Yeah, it can just totally affect things. One of the other things, Chris, that I've really, really tried to look at when purchasing cards is I'm really big on trying to buy the highest percentage if it's within. And just to give people a value, I look at basically if it's in within, 0.01. So if the card was like 0.06 and there was one at 0.07, but you know, the percentage differences was like 1.5 and say 7.5. I will pay for the 7.5 because for the time that it takes to get that 6% up, you know, it really can make a difference on the leaderboards. And that's what I've found a few times, that I've been quite close on the leaderboards to cards that I probably wasn't expecting to win, or competitions that I've not been. You wouldn't look at my team and think, that's going to get a card. And I've been pipped on the percentages. You know, I've actually had the same players as quite a few of the guys that have just finished above me, but they've been getting slightly more points.
Yeah.
And so that's it. I was really good at it. I was really, really good at that for the first sort of year a bit of playing Surreyor. And I suppose maybe in truth with trading, like you, we've traded, we've made sometimes what we would class as like spare ETH, and there's been conversations that we've both had where it's sitting with, you know, 0.5 or 0.8 or 0.2 to spend. Not sure if there's anything I want to spend it on. And sometimes I think you can become a little bit lax and a little bit carefree just on sometimes the purchases that we pick up. And it's not that we're ever trying to buy bad players, because I would say more often than not, I think we both and the people that we help, we always try and buy what we would class as like good value players that are easy to resell and that, fingers crossed, should make some sort of profit, or at least be able to sell for break even if you just don't fancy the player. But I know myself, I probably became a little bit reckless in the fact of, oh, I really want that player. I'm not going to have the patience to even wait for the bid to be accepted now. And I want to get away from that. I want to get back to what I was doing, which was making money off of trading. And making a lot of money off of trading, and basically getting to the point that I'm trying to make every decision really calculated again. So that's what I'm doing. My gallery is easy to follow, as is yours, for anybody that obviously listens in. If we're buying players, it's generally for a good reason. It means that they're actually playing, you know, playing in good form, or they're playing for teams that we follow closely. So yeah, that's where I'm kind of at the moment. So do you want to? Well, we'll look at. I think it was Ross County
that we've got first and foremost. And you know what, Russ? I don't know why I did it this way, but I think it was because I went on your page and it obviously has the most recent posts at the top. So it gave me St Mirren first, then St Johnston, then Ross County. So I've done them back to front. As I'm saying, these are the charts that Russ has put up. They're on at Scotland Surreyor. You can scroll back and find them. I think the Ross County one was just at the weekend, or just before the weekend. I think it was the 28th or 29th of October. So you'll find it on there. Well worth having a look at. Some of the scores might be slightly lower. And the reason for that, as we've mentioned, is they might have missed a game or two. But the ones at the top are probably going to be the ones that have played week in, week out, every single game. So we're looking at three teams easily classed as provincial clubs, Russ. You know, smaller clubs are going to have smaller budgets and smaller squads, therefore. So Ross County, struggling this season, tied at the bottom of the league with your beloved Dundee United. The top three players on there, two of them I wasn't surprised by. One, if I'm being honest, I hadn't followed closely enough to even notice, you know, where he was doing. But first one on the list was Alex Iacovitti. And I think that's one that we both tipped back in episode 4 when the Scottish League's launched. Then again in episode 17 when we talked about the Scottish cards, you know, or the start of the Scottish season again. So, centre-back at Ross County. He has got a goal to his name. He has played 100% of the minutes this season. So he couldn't have done more. He is sitting at a paltry 0.04. Now, that's more than likely going to be for the 2021 card as opposed to the current season. So just what Russ was speaking about in terms of the percentages, you might find one, say 0.045, and it might be worth picking that up as opposed to the lower one. But that works at about 53 quid. And his last 15 score, I haven't done last five because I think they've had a couple of tougher games there as well, but the last 15 score, which covers all season, he's sitting on 46. So it's fairly consistent. And if that's going to return you, you know, help you return the ETH, happy days, he's going to pay for himself over a couple of game weeks there. The second one, Owura Edwards, two goals, one assist. He's got a midfield card, I believe it is. He plays as the winger. 0.07 is his price on the market. A wee bit steeper, I would have said, to be honest, than what his scores are returning. Sitting about 95 quid. Last 15 on him was 43. So it is a little bit lower where it stands. But the final one is Jack Baldwin, centre-back, captain, one assist. 0.037, Russ. So again, you could get the two defenders there for less than 0.08, which would be basically about 110 quid, and you've nailed both of them. And last 15 of 46 on him as well. So fairly solid. As I say, they've had a tough season. So if you are picking any of these players up, you might want to watch come March time, you know, see where the league's sitting and maybe shift some players on. But their best score, God, they've only had a couple of wins, Russ, so it was slim pickings. I put the 1-0 away win at Livingston because it's never a particularly easy place to go as their best one. And their worst one was a few weeks ago when they lost 5-0 at home to Motherwell. That was Kevin Van Veen hat-trick that day, I believe it was. So, yeah, that's a hellish scoreline to have at home. And it's one that felt a wee bit like karma for me because they gave Dundee a 5-0 hammering our own home ground last season. So it felt a wee bit good to look at that and see that happen. So, yeah, that's the players I picked up. Not picked up, but picked out there, Russ. Did you have any other ones that you were surprised by?
Not really. Aware of Edwards, sorry, I should have probably mentioned, he's a striker card in the game. That's why he's a little bit... more expensive.
Well, that makes perfect sense, yeah.
And he's an under 23. So, yeah, do you know what? I think anybody that follows Ross County probably would have known that Alex would have probably been near the top. Obviously, he was a, you know, Scotland under 21 cap and stuff and things as well, and had a relatively decent sort of grounding down south. A couple other cards that I thought, you know, Jordan White plays every game, but he's not a great scorer, you know. But if you're looking for, you know, I was trying to help a friend the other day and we only had like 0.04 or 0.05 looking for a striker, and that really is getting to slim picking stage. You're probably looking at then, if you're looking at Challenger Europe, you're either getting somebody that plays every second or third game and maybe gets a decent score. But Jordan White, he's playing up front on, he's got a tough gig there, but he does play every single week. The other one that's probably exceeded expectation, much to our defiance, would be Ross Laidlaw, who I still don't think you'll see out the whole season, but he continues to defy me every week and prove me wrong. So fair play. I think he was coming in fourth or fifth on the table. Yeah, but apart from that, there wasn't anything that I would be, you know, sort of really in the market. I think Aya Kaviti's Aikovati, whatever you pronounce it. I think he's a quality card to pick up, and certainly at that price. So agreed on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think just to touch on, because I've actually got the goalkeeper in the St Mirren one to mention, but Ross Laidlaw, obviously I sold mine at the start of the season when the, you know, because I was a wee bit antsy and I was able to sell them and bring in Radlinger again, which I felt more comfortable with. But he has played really well. I think, in fairness, obviously, if he didn't get dropped after the 5-0 defeat at home, I don't necessarily know what he's going to have to do to get dropped. So I actually feel a bit more comfortable with him. His price is still sitting, I think he's still sitting about 0.5, which is maybe a bit steep, you know, for somebody who's not necessarily, obviously, they are conceding goals, they're sitting at the bottom of the table for a reason. But yeah, it's I don't know. I don't think there's much to the boy that they brought in, and Ross Monroe doesn't seem to be getting a look at either. So I think he'd be pretty safe with a Ross Laidlaw. However, I'd caveat that with get your back up, as we always do, say, Russ. So yeah. That'd be my Ross County ones. You want to move on to St Mirren?
No, St Johnston.
St
before M.
You're right. You're right.
You're right.
I'm tired. It's late. Yes, it's St Johnston, the team that I tipped to do horrendously. They didn't start well, but they've certainly turned it around. Two of the cards towards the top of their table, Russ, neither of them actually have cards in the game. And that was Ryan McGowan and Alex Mitchell. So I've put them down as mentions, but they don't have cards. I think there was a discussion about Ryan McGowan on Twitter in the last couple of days. He has played really, really well for them. Yeah. But unfortunately, just no cards. So I've went with three that do have cards there. Russ, Andy Considine, who's sitting in my gallery. Last 15 of 50. You talked about him on each of the podcasts, especially this episode 17. And
£5 for a rare back then, or £7.
Because he didn't have a club. And then he ended up going to St Johnston, and he has played, you know, every game. He's been solid. And, you know, we did say, I think maybe you mentioned it on last week's podcast, that Scottish football can devolve into a bit of hammer throwing with certain teams, where it's just long balls that are getting pumped forward. And that's where boys like Andy Considine get their points, when they're, you know, they're winning these aerial duels and things like that. And
he's a big guy. He's, what is it, 6'5"?
Yeah. And he's just going to win those type of things. So punting the high balls isn't really going to work against him. So yeah, last 15 of 50, Russ, I think that's pretty stout. His price on the market was 0.05. I think that's creeping up. It has crept up a little bit. I think I paid £35 for him. So that's 68 quid on the market just now. So that's almost double the money from when I got him. But imagine you bought like 10 of them at the fiver, Russ. So you'd have been up at 600-700 quid. And the next one, Melker Hallberg. He played a big hand in them actually staying up in the playoffs against Inverness back in May, June time. And he's got one goal, one assist. He's sitting at 0.059. Or is that? No, sorry, 0.054. Can't read my own writing. 73 quid. Last 15 of 46. Centre midfield. And then this was a tough one because he's played every single game, but seven of them are starts and six of them are substitute appearances. But Stevie May, since Nicky Clark signed at St Johnston, has kind of found his form again. And they keep speaking about it on the radio when you listen to the Open All Mics, which is the radio programme on a Saturday afternoon. It's kind of like your soccer Saturday, but on the radio. He's got three goals and four assists in 13 games, but he's only started seven of those games. So you know you're going to get some points from him, whether it's going to be the start, whether it's going to be a decisive. But to have more than 50% return, you know, if he's got seven decisives out of 13 games, it's pretty decent going. Last 15 of 45, and that's only because of the substitute appearances. He's sitting under 100 quid on the market just now, Russ. And to be honest, I'm genuinely contemplating picking him up as a backup striker. Top game for them, probably being their 3-0 win against St Mirren. It certainly seemed to kick their season on. And their worst one, I went with the 4-0 defeat to Rangers. But all round, there's quite a fair bit of value in that St Johnston team.
Totally agree. They're not expensive cards to pick up. They were absolute buttons in the summer. You know, you quite fairly, to be fair, thought they would struggle based on last season. You know, it was valid.
It was also the League Cup. They got eliminated in the League Cup. Was it not Annan Athletic of the fourth tier that put them out?
Yeah.
So that's all the signs were there for the horrendous season. So
I thought they would have a good season, but based on probably, I thought the key factor was that I thought Callum Davison would maybe leave the club. They've now become, I think, fair to say, notoriously quite difficult to beat.
Yeah, they've done well.
With a good team spirit, The players seem to be playing for each other. They really, I think they really benefit from having what I would class as a settled sort of core of, I know that they occasionally change the full backs, but having Considine, Mitchell, Liam Gordon, I think is the captain there, as their back three, and he obviously came back from, he was injured earlier in the season, but that back three shielded by Hallberg and McGowan seems to be like, it just seems to be really, really difficult to break down. And they've probably become, you know, St Johnstone were a really probably pretty consistent mid-table side, you know, pretty much over the last 10 years up until a couple of years ago. And I think there's a chance that obviously they work on a really sort of small, shrewd sort of operating budget in comparison to some of the other Scottish clubs and things. They've always been thought, I think, to be run quite well. Yeah. As a club, you've got a core guys of good pros, like we've mentioned McGowan, you mentioned Stevie May there, and Stevie May's really benefited from, he seems to be playing well with Nicky Clark, and those guys seem to have built up quite a quick sort of understanding. And even the guy Theo Baer, like for instance when I was making the charts, and I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting him to have sort of, you know, I think he's got about 360 points all in total. If I'd been guessing before I made the chart, I probably would have thought he would have maybe had, you know, 200, you know, a couple of 26s and things. So they seem to be doing quite well. They've got Jamie Murphy and Graham Carey, who are both, you know, good sort of technical players. And I know that they've had injuries and things as well, but they both just kind of come back recently from injury. So I would expect St Johnstone to be a pretty safe pickup, you know, for MD that's got fears of, oh, do you think they could go down and things? I'll be honest, I don't think they're anywhere near going down. And I think they're a pretty safe pickup. And again, like what you mentioned with Ross County and St Mirren, smallish squads with probably minimal activity, I would think, you know, in January when the window's open, I couldn't see, you know, like 10 in, 10 out scenario. I think it will maybe be a couple either way.
Yeah, if it is, it's probably to back up the players that are there, more so than to replace. I think Nicky Clark's been was obviously a massive signing. One, I'm still astonished that United let go. But that's what happened, and obviously he scored on his debut for them. That's what I was saying. I think I got sidetracked when I was talking about it there as well, was the fact that when Stevie May got his big move from St Johnstone, it was when he was playing alongside Stephen McLean. So he's playing alongside another experienced striker, as opposed to being expected to be the lone target man. He does seem to play better off of someone else. And it's definitely worked out that way. And as I say, seven decisives is a great return from any striker. It's just, if he was playing every single one of those games, that price has got to have, you know, instead of being 100 quid, you've got to be looking maybe, what, 160, 170, more kind of like the Joel Newbley kind of price, let's say, as opposed to, you know, sitting just under 100 quid. I think that's great value, to be honest. So, yeah, I think definitely good options there to pick up. Let's move on to the other Saints. St Mirren, the Paisley side. So, top three players there. Now, there is one that doesn't have a card, and I didn't actually realise he didn't have a card, and that was Keanu Backus, because I actually went and had a look, obviously, at the Australian, the projected Australian World Cup squad, and he's featured in that, but he doesn't have a card in the game, unfortunately. So, but his teammate does, and is also in the projected lineup, and that was Ryan Strain. Now, he's mainly been playing as a right wing back for them, or a right back, just depending whether they're playing the back three or the back four. But it's a midfield card that he has. So he's not going to get as a severe penalty if they do concede goals, but he's also not going to get the clean sheet bonus. He's got two assists for the season. They do seem to like their wing backs to get forward and support the other lads. He's got a last 15 of 52 there, Russ, which I think is pretty decent. Yeah. 0.073 on the market, so about 100 quid. So yeah, decent value there. Ethan Erahan was one that I actually looked at him back in the summer, And there was a lot of talk, especially during the League Cup, that he'd had a falling out with the manager. But whether that's obviously just been paper talk or just absolute nonsense, full stop, or they just sorted everything out very quickly, he's played every single game. I think it was 95% of the minutes. He started every single game. Centre midfielder, he's got one assist. He's coming in at the same sort of price, 0.075. He is an under-23 card, I believe.
Yes.
So £105 for him. And the next one I actually put in, Russ, because I feel it's actually quite decent value, was Trevor Carson, goalkeeper. So guys are obviously, you know, we do get the questions quite often. I imagine you're still getting them as well. That, you know, what's good value in terms of a goalkeeper? He's got 5 clean sheets out of 12 games, which I think is decent value. He's coming in, or his recent sale price was 0.403, has been his 3-day average, which is only about 500, I say only, but please take that in the sense that it's meant, but £550 for a starting goalkeeper. Now, another one that surprisingly left Dundee United, perhaps, since they were already losing and had to bring in other goalkeepers that, you know, have made their mistakes. But last 15 to 39, that's reflective of games where the place, you know, they maybe played Rangers and conceded 3 or whatever, and, you know, you get hammered on the score for that. But they are the side that beat Celtic a few weeks ago, 2-0. That I put that down as their top game. I think that's pretty safe to put that in there as that. Worst game, they went to Pittodrie and played against Aberdeen and lost 4-1. So I felt that was quite an easy one to put in there. But they have got quite a few players that, you know, do have, seem to average kind of the 40 to 45 points. I actually looked at picking up Mark O'Hara again, just, you know, as a backup threshold option for midfield, because you were able to pick him up for 35, 40 quid. And he's their captain. He's going to play every week, unless he's injured or suspended. So, yeah, you know what? Another team, small squad, decent value in amongst it. So yeah, I think there's a fair pool to pick from there.
Yeah, and again, like you say, they're not expensive, you know, with the goalkeeper, obviously, which, you know, that's an investment for anybody that's playing. But certainly there are quite a few options of guys that are playing regularly. Ethan Erhon, that you mentioned earlier, obviously a Scotland under-21 international. I know that he was linked with quite a few moves in the summer to the English sort of League One and Championship sides. That's my only concern, is the fact that I do feel that he's a very good player. He's a very good player in that St Mirren side. And my only fear with picking him up is the fact that just if he moved and it was like he ended up in English League One, you know, say like Sheffield Wednesday or something like that, who are looking obviously good to come up. But if he did end up there, oh, you know, could it be a wee bit risky? But yeah, cracking player. And like you say, you've got guys like Mark O'Hara and, you know, Charles Dunn that are featuring. One of the guys that I'm looking at speculatively is, and he has a card in the game, is Jonah Ayunga.
Yeah, do you know what? I've actually got him open right now.
Yeah, okay, stop it.
Just
close your browser and wait till I've bought him.
There's two about the same price, but all good.
What's he coming in at, just off?
Cheapest one on the market at this moment in time, 0.0693, so £93. The next one's £94, so we could toss a coin. But no, do you know what is... the other one, I was actually just looking to see what price Curtis Main was coming in at, because again, if you look at the chart, he is coming in. You know, we have mentioned, obviously, again, another one that could potentially yo-yo between the leagues.
Yeah.
But he has... You know, it's a striker playing most weeks, you know. So
he's edged out Eamon Brophy and Alex Grieve, hasn't he? He's kind of, I think it's safe to say that Curtis Main is probably the, I think Jonah Ayunga is the first striker, and I think he offers that sort of pace and trickery that, you know, St Mirren can utilise to kind of buy themselves time, unlock defences. Curtis Main, pretty much a bit more of a traditional striker, I think you would say.
Yeah.
You know, offers maybe different attributes.
I've just brought him up there. He's basically played all bar all bar two games this season, one he was out injured for, and I can't see what the other one was. But he's got 2 goals, 2 assists. Now, granted, both his goals were in the same game against Dundee United, but he's, you know, he's playing every single week. And if you're looking for a threshold striker that you're a forward that you could put in the team and you're hopefully going to get between that 35, 40, 45 points every week, it's hard to look past somebody that's costing you 70 quid to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got a last 5 average of 38, a 15 of 42. His last 4 games, 38, 40, 37, 36. It's not spectacular, but he's getting the points. So
he'll not win you a tier one or a star rare, but he will get you.
He could certainly get you towards the ETH.
And, well, the main thing is he'll be playing. And if he doesn't, when he doesn't start, he features at least off the bench, which out of their 4 strikers, you can't buy Eamon Brophy or Alex Grieve at the moment because they're just not in favour. But yeah, I think these 3 clubs, obviously, like you say, maybe 3 of the slightly, for whatever reasons, sort of more unfashionable clubs that people maybe looking in from other European countries probably won't look and think, I want a Ross County or a St Mirren or a St Johnstone player. They'll want a Celtic or a Hibs or an Aberdeen player, maybe, or a Rangers. But you know what? As I will prove, there are better value than the Old Firm, which, is quite interesting findings.
Yeah, well, I mean, will we save that for the very last, or do you want to do that now, Russ?
I've got it open now.
Right,
so
let's look at this. I've got my pen and paper handy. I haven't seen this, but no, I can certainly chip in when we're speaking, when Russ is speaking about the players. If I've got any knowledge to it, and if I don't, I won't chip in a thing. So, Russ.
So this is what I did was obviously a lot of these charts were up to game week 3-1-4, which is a few weeks back now. So at the weekend, I amalgamated all the data from all the different teams.
Yeah. What a word. Amalgamated. Fantastic.
Amalgamated. That should be the Collins word of the week rather than the one that was chosen. however, I put all the information together and I've created what I would now class as like a master Scottish Premiership. It's got every single player and it's now all rolling. So all that will happen is every week I'll have the new sort of set of numbers. Now, from a sort of public domain perspective, I've not published this yet. For the listeners on the pod, this is your opportunity to not share the information and to hear the information and pick up the players that you hopefully want and get them for what would say less than a sort of public domain premium price where somebody comes along and buys all 4 because they've been mentioned on any podcast and then obviously tries to sell them all for profit. So the information here, it's a top 20. Some of them won't touch too long on. But because they don't have cards in the game, but there are quite a few surprises for it being a top 20. Chris, you've not seen this data. There's only a handful of people that have seen it last night. It'll be going up on social media probably in about maybe, it'll probably go up just before next week's pod. So it'll go up in about a week's time. So in 20th and in reverse order, Anthony Stewart, Aberdeen, 625 total points over the course of the season. It's a card that we've known and spoke about in earlier pods that's done well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a defender card that I've genuinely had a look at myself for picking up. Because I just think it provides really good value, and that just highlights it there.
Yeah. In 19th is a goalkeeper, and it's David Marshall of Hibs.
Yeah, another one that. In all full disclosure, I'm looking at maybe selling my Spanish goalkeeper and picking up a cheaper European one. And he is one that is on the shortlist.
He's actually the second top performing goalkeeper in this chart and in the league at the moment. So David Marshall's in 19th. In 18th, man that we've just mentioned, Alex Iacovetti at Ross County. So probably I would think that if you were asking the majority of just the sort of Scottish football in public to name the top 20 performing Opta players, I don't think he would get any mentions. He'd be one that would be absolutely perfect for the quiz show pointless.
Yeah, sounds a plan.
629 points, though, from the man from Dingwall. Next up, we have Matt O'Reilly at Celtic. So probably quite expected that he would be in the top 20. He'd been playing pretty consistent, and Ange seems to play him every game.
Yep.
Next, we have another man that has just been mentioned, and it's Andy Considine. So he's on 637 points total for the season. So we've mentioned him. And above him is Ryan McGowan at St Johnstone on 639. So they're just obviously neck and neck. The next man, which I think would be, let me just count, would he be 14th, will be Ilber Ramadani.
Yeah.
So again, he's had a quick mention tonight, just when we were mentioning our pickups. 643 points for the midfielder. Obviously has international utility as well, which is maybe quite handy. And then 13th, unlucky for some, is the top current top performing goalkeeper in Scotland, which is Joe Hart, which is probably not to be, it's not going to be a massive surprise. So he's on 650 points. Just above him in 12th, Barry Mackay at Hearts.
Yeah.
I think he's a forward card in the game, if I recall.
There's one coming round in a few hours. Yep, forward card, yep.
Okay, so he's on 658 and just above him. And then a man that is in your gallery sits just above him in Sondre Johansson at Motherwell.
Who is and that was missing the first game of the season, I think, maybe the second one as well.
Yeah, and he's sitting 11th in the top. And he's on 686 points all in. That's 60 points higher than, say, Anthony Stewart at Aberdeen. So that's quite a jump.
Yeah.
10th position. Maybe quite surprisingly, but it's probably due to the fact that he has missed quite a few games, and that's Jota at Celtic, who's just above him. Obviously, he's just come back, and he was in the early stages of the sort of the chart of the game weeks 292 to 306. He was absolutely flying in that top three, but he's missed lots of games. And at the end of the day, you can have that card in your gallery, but if it's not contributing week after week after week, there comes a point for everybody that they go, do I need to keep this? Isn't surely?
Yeah, totally. For the cost of them, you know, it's like you say, it's cost of it. Well, return on investment, as we've spoke about before, eh? So
absolutely. In 9th, Martin Boyle at Hibs.
Yep. Just had a quick look at his. I think he was sitting about 0.3 on the market. I think that's tremendous value. As bizarre as that sounds to say, yeah, I think nearly, well, just over 400 quid's good value.
Probably his injury that he's just picked up might be telling, but you're not going to miss too much utility with him, unless you were buying him for the World Cup, obviously. But, you know, you would think he'd be back in January.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be particularly long term as such.
Yeah, so that's 9th was Martin Boyle of Hibs. In 8th, Joe Newell above him on 701 points for the midfield. Spoke about him extensively. In 7th, no card for this one, but it's Antonio Colak at Rangers.
Yeah, top goal scorer for them, isn't he? So
yeah. In 6th place, and a card that I've just picked up myself, 719 points. And the highest... Well, the highest this of last season and this season's midfield cards, Sean Goss, Motherwell, 719, which I think is just tremendous. You know, he's 100, just under 100 points ahead of, you know, Celtic's top midfielder.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the price difference type thing, you know.
Massive.
Yeah. In 5th place, Chris Cadden, 730 points. I know he's got midfield and defender cards in the game. But 730 points. Now, bearing in mind, and I'll disclose this now, because Cameron Carter-Vickers is not in the top 20 performing cards. And Chris Cadden is more than 200 total points ahead of him for the season. So if you're playing them week in, week out, as your main defensive card, Chris Cadden I picked up, I think I want to say it was about 0.12 or 0.115 this week. And I think... when I last looked, Cameron Carter-Vickers was 1.1 ETH, so a tenth of the price. So this kind of research, you know what I mean? It means that you can contest, I feel, against these guys that have got the bigger budgets. So Chris Cadden in 5th. In 4th, sadly doesn't have a card, John Lundstrom, 786 points. You know, a really good sort of return. In 3rd place, Ryan Porteous, 823 points. Nice. He is the top Scottish Premiership player with a card. So the two above him sadly don't have cards, but I thought we'd just obviously share them just to put it into context. Borna Barisic at Rangers is in 2nd on 831. So although they've been struggling immensely in Europe, as we've found out, with all sets of all sort of new records being set, but 831 points is a massive return domestically, if ever their, you know, if ever their cards do arrive. And it's, I think, the highest fullback for Celtic was Greg Taylor, and he doesn't even chart. He's 300 points behind Barisic, which is, that's a lot of points. The top card will be of no surprise to you, but obviously James Tavernier of Rangers, a whopping 967 points now, which is 130 points higher than Barisic alone. It's just scary. I dread to think what he would be in relation to. I'm guessing it's like a 1.5 ETH rare card there.
He's got to be something obscene. But I mean, I think he would come in as one of the top cards in the entire platform. So
definitely,
the price would definitely reflect in that. But
yeah, so to summarize that, you're looking at you're looking at three Celtic cards in that top 20, which I don't think. You know, if you'd asked beforehand, most people would be expecting maybe 10 Celtic cards in there. There's only three. Two Aberdeen, one Ross County, Hibernian. Obviously, I think they were the most with 5 cards alongside Rangers, who had 4. So Hibs have got the most cards in the top 20 performers in the Premiership, which is what you just actually said. You mentioned, oh, I would be looking at Hibs cards without seeing this data. So,
yeah,
proof in the pudding.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I just think one of the things that kind of stood out to me there was how many defenders there were in Scotland that have got high score that are in that list. And a lot of it probably comes back to the long ball football, as we just kind of spoke about with some of the defenders like Andy Considine and things like that. It's, you know, boys that are going to be winning the duels quite consistently. So, and yeah, I think it's tremendous data, and that's going to be, as Russ has said, exclusive to listeners. So go and have a look at some of the players and the prices, do your own research, as we've always said. I think you will find some really good value. And I've got Chris Cadden up, Russ, cheapest on the market, 150 quid. But like you say, that is a 10th of what Carter Vickers is coming in at. I watched the Livingston game, and Joel Newbley was pushing him about a fair bit as well. So I think that was a bit of a different contest for him, because he's used to just owning things. But that was a fun one to watch. But yeah, I, there's certainly a lot of great value there. Few names that are absolutely no surprise, like Newell, Goss, because we've spoke about them. They're ever present. They score really well. So those kind of boys are, you know, and when you see Joe Hart only, what was it, like, was it ninth?
I've actually put the chart down now, but it wasn't particularly, it was, yeah. 13th, unlucky for some, yeah.
And you're looking at that and you think, I would have thought he'd have been higher, in all Definitely. Fairness. Mm-hmm. But then you look at, David Marshall being in the list there as well, and you look at it and you think, well, actually, he's less than half the cost of Joe Hart. And he's got the top performing under 23 in the country in front of him. He's got Chris Cadden there, who, as you just mentioned, in that list there. He's got some really strong players, and even Rocky Bashiri has come on to a game. And you've got Paul Hanlon, you've got Paul McGinn. He's got a very strong line in front of him there. So, yeah, there was a game where I think he scored 0, and I think that was the game against Celtic. But in fairness, that's still really, really good value. So, to be honest, yeah, his age is, you know, people might be concerned about his age. It's a 2-year deal he's got there. So I wouldn't necessarily be that worried about that. He's retired from international football, so he's fully focused on league football. So, do you know what? There's some really good value in amongst that, guys, and I would definitely be well worth having a nosy at some of those players, Russ.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. So, I think that leads us on to our final part, does it?
Our challenge, it does. We haven't put one up, or haven't picked squads for this week, and there's been a few things have happened, so we are going to let that slide until next week. But my four players, it was the Russian Challenge, Russ. Do you want to give your scores first, or do you want me to go?
I don't want to give my scores because I can't find my players.
Okay, well, I'll go with mine first then, since I've got it sitting right here. So I'll help you with one of them. We both had Francois Camano.
We did.
Who scored 43. So we both had him. Then I had Smolnikov. He scored 31. So he was my lowest performer. I had Aman Romanovich. He got 44. And then Yuri Gazinski, he got 61. I think he scored. So that got me a wee cheeky decisive there. So all told, that was 179 points that I got from those lads there, Russ. So do you have the rest of your points tally to hand?
I've got it written down here somewhere. I've got, I knew that I had Guliev. I'd probably quicker checking. But I had Guliev, and what I did do is I actually did check. And what was your points total?
179.
179. I think you beat me. I think you beat me. I'd love to say, do you know what? I've got a million. I've got this pad in front of me here, and in this pad, I write out my team, and I write out my transfers, and I write out my gallery into columns. This is how sad I am. Of, you know, absolutely essential pieces to retain in the gallery. Players that I could sell, players that I need to sell. And I do this pretty much every day, as you know, and it takes up pages and pages and pages. So I've got all these players' names written, and I'm trying to find, as we record live, my player list, which is evading me at the moment. I do remember that I had Guliev. I was going to have Skopintsev, and I binned him.
He did.
I changed my mind, didn't I?
It's on the podcast Twitter page. So,
what is it? So it is.
Because you finally logged in, and
yeah, I did. I logged in to do that, and I just forgotten.
did some stuff on it, but I've got it here. Your players, Russ, were Yaguliev, Eli Dasa.
Oh yeah, Dasa. That's right.
And Vladislav Kamilov.
Kamilov, right. We'll get these scores live. Let's get the scores live right now because I'm logged in here. So
it's a high-tech broadcast, folks.
Oh, it's beyond. It's absolutely beyond, but hey, it's real. Guliev, 39 points.
Okay.
What did you give Camano?
43.
Could I have had a higher percentage one? No.
Nope.
Eli Dasa, now I think he scored more. Let's have a look. 47.
Okay.
For him. So that's 90. That's 129 in play. What's the target?
179. So you need 50.
I need 50 from Kamilov. Here we go. Vladislav Kamilov. That's right, at Grozny. And he scored 48. Unbelievable.
Yes. 177.
Unbelievable. I demand a steward's inquiry.
Steward's inquiry is held, and it has upheld the decision.
It's upheld the decision. So you beat me by 2 points, and I was, do you know what? I should have won that one, in truth, because I've done quite a bit of buying and selling in Russia. So fair play. Kudos where it's due. You have taken that to... You would take that, but sadly none of us would have got the threshold, which is probably a little bit more important.
Well, when you add on the 25% for, the captain bonus, and add on, say, if you did manage to get 5% on at least all of them. In fact, you would have, because there's no new season cards. So the minimum you would have had would have been an extra 5% on top of each of those. It probably would just about have scraped, or there or thereabouts.
Okay, so challenge is definitely, it's head-to-head, it's 2-1 you, and we'll...
Let's retire it. That'll do. 2-1, superb victory in public in front of the world.
Everybody.
I'm happy with that.
You'll tell everybody. We'll be back with the Jupiler or the Eredivisie next week.
Sounds like a plan. I don't have anything else to add this week, Russ. Have you anything else you want to chuck in?
No, I think it was important that wanted to get this data out. We wanted to just do something a little bit different with the exclusive supply of the players. Normally we would have probably posted that all over social media and stuff, but instead we'll post that the top 20 players are there to be listened to. So enjoy, fingers crossed you pick up some players at a cheaper price. Yeah. And thanks to everybody once again. Had lots of messages this week and things, just support for the pod, praise for the pod, trying to keep it real as possible. So that's all really, really appreciative. We'll still try to strive and continue to bring you players, bargains, budget, data, you name it. Anything else, Chris?
Yeah, no, just like I say, it's obviously quite a research heavy episode this week, but hopefully it, you know, is valuable to the listeners. And with that, take care, guys. Enjoy your game weeks, and we will speak to you all again next week.